As we are running a bit late, I'll be a bit rude and skip the long introduction of the panelists. Let me just say, I'm sure you're all aware of who these people are anyway. Let me just say, I think the EBA Secretariat has done a great job in bringing in Charlotte, Annika and Ulf to talk about evaluations. And let me then start by asking a couple of general questions. So we talked about evaluations, we talked about impact evaluations in particular, and a general theme from these presentations we have heard is that while rigorous impact evaluations, using Thomas' warnings, should probably not be done, or should not be done on all projects and programs we are funding, it ought to be done now and then. But Anders mentioned that it seems to be the case that Swedish aid organizations up to now have done very little of this. And the obvious questions that comes to mind then is of course, why is that the case? Is there no real interest to from the aid organizations themselves or potentially the politicians to really find out about the true impact of different projects we are funding? And a follow-up question to that is that if there is an interest, why has so few of these impact evaluations been done up to now? Who wants to start?
Well, I can start.
Then you start.
Of course, we would like to find out the results of the work we are supporting on the projects we are supporting. And I think there has been a lot of improvements during the last year. The good thing about the focus on the results-based management has led to the fact that we now have better designs of the projects, and we also have better formulated expected results and goals for the projects. And we have also started now to make baseline studies mandatory, which they haven't always been. So I think during the last years there have been a lot of improvements, and I think we will see the result of that now in the coming years. However, I also think there is still room for improvement and strengthening about how to assess the results when it comes to both the Swedish organizations that we are supporting and the local organizations. Because this is a very difficult field, of course. And I would like to see more collaboration between organizations and universities regarding this matter, actually. But I'm not saying that I would like to see it in Sweden. I would like to see it in the countries where we are working, the partner organizations and the universities in the partner countries. And I think it would be very good if we could support such collaboration when we start up larger projects. And then maybe we could also do fewer evaluations but better evaluations, because we can't evaluate everything all the time. So we should also go for more evaluations with high external validity, of course, so we could learn from those evaluations. Because I don't think our organizations can ever become experts in this quite complicated field, but if they collaborate with universities, I think we could do a lot of improvements. But for us, I would also like to say that it's crucial that our partner organizations own their projects. They should be the ones formulating the problems, the baseline, designing the projects, and also doing or initiating the evaluations, because they are the ones that should be able to present their results to their local leaders, the government, and also to other donors. So they should be the ones that do the evaluations of the results, and maybe we should concentrate on doing the evaluations of how we have we supported them in the best way. So that's a few comments about that from
me. Okay. Charlotte, do you want to?
Yes, please. I'm pleased to hear that the glass is half full. That's my interpretation, at least. And I think that it's very important for us, as SIDA, to make use of where we are today, where the government has decided to change the way they govern SIDA through the result strategies, which is different for us, because we used to be governed by strategies with very broad objectives, the objectives were almost like visions rather than measurable objectives. And we actually have an opportunity now to work with a more specific strategy and a better context for this whole piece of work of, you know, what are we trying to achieve and how can we evaluate if we do what we're asked to do, and how can we use that as the basis for knowing better what works. And one of the things that we have to tackle from the inside, although we are then pleased to be half full, no, not we, but the thing is that we do a lot already today, but I think one of the weaknesses is the capacity to make use of what we do. We actually conduct 101, I think, evaluations all over CEDA. It's not you, it's us conducting 101 evaluations during this calendar year, as well as 3 strategic evaluations. And we don't really have a system to make this a systematic knowledge for choices that we should make in the way we do development and the way we work with partners. We don't have a system really either to demand from our partners. I think that we run the risk that all of us kind of do a lot of things, but the system in which we work, where we hold you accountable for working with your partners, with RTCs, we should be clearer in our expectations in doing that as well. So I know that what we have today is an opportunity to work with academia and ourselves to make use of this change in how aid is being governed, to make a more systematic approach towards this. And I'm very pleased I think this morning was educating, and I know that you want me to say that, yes, we're going to use RTC more than we do, because you were so clear. And I think we will, but not necessarily. I mean, it's very costly. We need to realize when that is a good thing for CEDA to do, and when it's, you know, a dialogue with our partners. I also want to add that we support research capacity a lot in countries. Almost $1 billion of the Swedish development aid budget is for doing that. And it might be also interesting for us to see, do we really use that support in these kind of research? I don't know that, but it could be very interesting to see what kind of capacity building we could include in the research support that we do. So.
Ulf?
I would say from my experience in Save the Children for the last almost 6 years, our organization has gone through a huge shift and change. We have established a joint organization, a joint implementation organization across the world. And one of the reasons for that, and Charlotte knows all about it, she was one of the initiators of it in a previous role, but one of the reasons for this was really to pool our resources to get at the results for children, and believing that working together we would be able to do that. So one of the things that we've done in that, during that journey, is really to build that tool bag of mixed methodologies when it comes to monitoring and evaluation. And I would say that poses us with 3 challenges. The first one is cultural. And the cultural challenge, it comes from the shift in the sector that I think all of the 3 speakers this morning touched on. So the journey that we're still making, I'd say, from the focus on input and output and process in relation to that, which I would say in some ways has fostered a culture of compliance, which is necessary, but has also become, I would say, a blockage, because there is the risk appetite has been affected, I would say. Because you are all, you know, if you must be able to fail and to evaluate why you failed in order to succeed, in order to adjust. And if the focus the whole time is on, you know, crown for crown, dollar for dollar, how did you spend it? Did you spend it on then you don't foster that kind of culture. Or there is a risk that you don't. So that's the first challenge. The second challenge, all the speakers have talked about, and that's the challenge of capacity. And I'd say it's a challenge. It's linked to it's capacity at all levels. One of the things with this mixed toolbox, you're just conceptualizing the various tools and agreeing, coming to a common understanding across the organization. What do we use the different tools for? What are they appropriate for, and what are they not appropriate for? That's a challenge. We're now getting some of the data from the tool, and then we see the gaps. And so the local level, our colleagues in Save the Children offices, our colleagues in partner organizations in the various countries we work with, that capacity challenge is absolutely there. But it's with us as well. And finally, I think Thomas Elhout outlined that as well. It's the issue of financing, which we have to take a serious look at. Short programs, and not necessarily, again, an appetite by donors. And here I think CEDA is perhaps one of the more like-minded ones. Some of the other donors that we work with, this is more of a challenge. To actually not just put the money up, but also taking the risk of committing to a program for more than 2 or 3 years, which is what you need to do to use some of these methodologies. Yeah, I'll stop there. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. So a couple of points then from your answers. So Charlotte, you mentioned a lot of studies are done, a lot of evaluations are done, but it's questionable to what extent the information that comes out from these actually used and fed into to future projects. And I'll let you. I think it may not be a specific thing for CEDA. And in Anders' report, this is actually something he discusses as well. It's not only the method of finding out the impact that is important. Actually, more important is what we take away from that, what we can learn, and how we can, in the best case scenario, reform things that are not working. So that's one point I would like you to, you all three of you, to say a few more things on. And then, Annika, you mentioned that you're working with partner organizations to carry out these things, but so how do you then ensure that these proper impact evaluations are actually going to be achieved? At the one hand, you say that this has to come from them. At the other hand, you realize that this is an important component for certain projects. And can you say a bit more about that, if there is a conflict here somehow? And finally, it seems a little bit, Ulf, if I might have misinterpreted, but one thing you stress is that maybe this result agenda and the very clear focus on result agenda, one risk with that is that there is it might be a bit more risky to start experimenting with new things. And if you want to find quick results and show that you are producing something with the funds you are getting, maybe the willingness to take risks and experiments are taking a hit. So those are three issues that I would appreciate if you can say a few things more about.
We have started to use a systems approach to the strategic evaluations that we conduct at CEDA, where when we have an evaluation, when it's ready, we have a group at CEDA called the Evidence Group, which helps the management team to analyze the evaluation. But it also holds us to account that we respond to the evaluation, meaning what are the action, the learnings and the actions that we need, that we think we need to take to use the knowledge that we get from the evaluation. One example of that is we did a survey on how we work with civil society overall. One of the things that we were very, which was very clear, was that Although the Swedish policy of working with civil society is to support civil society in its own right to exist. But most of what we do, being SIDA, is to support civil society as a service delivery, which it could be, you know, another body than civil society to conduct a service. So we learned that we actually didn't live up to the policy. So we worked through that evaluation, through the management response process, and it's not now going to affect the way we implement our strategy. I cannot give you the same precise answer for the 101 other evaluations that are being conducted elsewhere, and that's a shortcoming of the system, because I'm sure that we spend resources on a lot of knowledge that may be of use in that specific context, but we are not utilizing that enough, and it's just not a good system. So I think we need to do less as SIDA, but much more, with a much more clear of what do we actually need and where in the organization do we do this. We need an oversight from a department, which you are here, so you probably would say, well, we need more resources, we think. I'm not sure that it's resources, it's a better organization of how we do this. So we want to be much more systemic and do less evaluations that we cannot make use of. I hope that was some response.
Yeah, I guess my question was about how we ensure
I think the questions were for all of you.
Well, the way we work now is that it's for the partner organizations to formulate and design their projects and formulate the expected results and also present the results of the project. And usually the goals are formulated outcome level. And then, of course, I mean, we have to capacity build the organizations in the way they are designing and evaluating the results of the projects. And that's a matter, of course, of money and time. And also a matter of not taking over. Because when the projects are becoming more and more professional and technical, there is a risk that we take over the process. And so I think we have to have the patience here and really capacity build the partner organization so that they can do this from the start to the end. But then it's up to us at Forum Syd to gather all these different results to do a sort of impact evaluation of the whole portfolio of projects that we are supporting. And we have constructed a system for that during the last year with an overall goal and indicators and so on, which is quite sophisticated. So that's the way we do it. But of course, we could still improve the methods for how we get the data that we put into the system. Because, I mean, if the quality of the data that we put in is bad, I mean, then the evaluation, the result of the evaluation will be bad too. So that's the challenge.
Ulf, you want to add in?
Well, I mean, I think you understood me correctly, that I do see that there is a risk with how we formulate results and how we keep, in the management of our work, how we keep various parties and stakeholders accountable for those results. That sends signals through the system. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, to me, that is one of the main reasons why you need a mixed tool bag to monitor and evaluate your work. I can give you some examples of when things have gone wrong, where, for instance, in a campaign in Save the Children a few years ago about providing access to education for more children and to raise the quality of education, we were counting beneficiaries of these the raising the quality of education, and we were counting it in a fairly output kind of way, I'd say, and setting targets for countries to reach in terms of delivering these specific outputs, inputs, outputs that were then assumed to contribute to raising the quality of education. And in some of these programs, to meet the target, we were buying school bags and handing out pencils and erasers and things. And of course, that's part of, you need a pencil in school. Of course you do. But I think you see what I'm trying to get at. If the measurement steers how you design your intervention, that there is that risk. So, and that is why you need a mixed tool bag, and you need to keep the discussion alive. What do the various tools, what can they be used for? So that you don't confuse them.
May I add to that? Because I was part of that failure, I think. At least I was one of the initiators. And why? I was a bit surprised that we did so little, that we actually didn't have one language on what is an objective. When do we? How do we know that we have actually contributed? There was so much debate on results framework. There were so many seminars. But in practice, very little.
Yeah.
So we challenged ourselves at Save the Children. We thought we need to be able to be clear to us and the people that trust us to work for children. So this was really a learning session. And it's not long ago. And I think sometimes we talk about evaluation. We still need to do some work around measurements as such, and also the debate on what's the risk in doing all this. Will we all start to do education and health because democracy and human rights is so difficult to measure? All of that, we need to spend some quality work, not everywhere, but I think we can really work together with academia here and in countries where we work, and not jump from that into evaluation as the solution of the whole kind of challenge that we are discussing today. And an agency like SIDA, whatever the government say that we don't want to show failures, we need to do that. We need to learn from failures because we are the agency that should, inform the government. So if we were not ready to talk about failures, I think, we haven't failed, but we haven't done our, what's expected.
Very, very good. Let me just say, I think I very much agree that there is a impact evaluation, and in particular, those based on randomized controlled trials have its limitations, and Anders discussed them in great detail. I also think if you look at research in economics in particular, there's been great advances in measurement, in things that we before thought we can't really measure. We now have a sense that you actually can, using different types of tools. We only have a few more minutes, and the audience has been a very nice and quiet one. So I thought I'll take this last few minutes to open up for some questions to the panelists in particular. But if you have questions to any of the speakers, I guess we can allow that also.
One question on how promoting learning about evaluations. Now I think it's a semi-clandestine business, mainly from SIDA publishes its evaluations. Swedish frame organizations generally do not. Does SIDA has a policy or a demand or something in the agreement demanding that Swedish framework organizations should publish their evaluations on their homepages, for instance? Or does Forum Syd and Save the Children publish their evaluations right now?
Let's take a couple of questions, if there are any, and then I'll let you respond.
Thank you. Just a quick reflection on the sales pitch by IFAD. Any claim that RCT would constitute a gold standard is blatantly not true. That's not the case. A reflection on the presentation by Anders, which I think was very good. It was fairly well balanced. However, it also clearly shows how extremely limited the scope for RCTs in this business really is. You bring up the case of the deworming study in Kenya by Kremer. Now, I have to admit that it was a while ago since I read Angus Deaton, which is also in your reference list, but I think he actually criticizes that study because it was not a randomized allocation of the schools. And randomization is extremely difficult. Now, there is nothing really surprising about the fact that there's been so little rigorous, as it were, evaluations of the impact of development assistance, particularly in this country. It's basically lip service that we're interested in these results. The danger now is that the hype around the RCTs would create a situation where CEDA and others can claim that we're doing impact evaluations of their projects, which is not going really to give us an enhanced understanding of what's really going on. Now, send your tweets.
Well, maybe. One more.
Okay, there was a comment on the financing, and now I'm just talking about general financing to different type of impact analysis. I think one should think about financing, you know, as a, you know, we saw some numbers about millions and so on, but it should be, what is the share of the you know, the total budget of the project? I think, I mean, if it's, usually when you look at World Bank data, you can see the share on going to the impact component is less than 1%, so then one can ask, is the composition of the financing correct?
Okay, let's try and address some of these questions.
One question was whether we publish the evaluations on our website, and we don't do that regularly. I don't think there's any reasons for not doing it, but we send many of them to CEDA. As once we have sent them to CEDA, they are official. So you can ask for them via CEDA. But I'm sure if somebody would ask to read one, we would be happy to distribute it. Mm-hmm. I really hope that we won't leave this seminar with the feeling that as long as we do more RCTs, we will have improved the situation for impact evaluations in development cooperation. I hope we leave this seminar with the feeling that we need a mix of evaluations and really need better evaluations that are suitable and affordable for our partner organizations. I mean, that's the most important, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't think that we demand yet from you to put that on your website. And you are nodding. No, we're not. No. No, but I would encourage you to do that, because if I were a donor, a private donor, I would be interested in how you learn. So I think, you know, I would encourage that for all of us. So.
Yeah. The question on whether we publish evaluations is fairly easy to answer. We publish quite a lot, but not all. And obviously more internal ones, we tend perhaps to publish less. But there is an online resource center that you can access through our webpage, with a document library where you can find evaluations that we do across our work. So yes, we do. We publish quite a lot. And then I would answer that exactly like Annika did. I like I have stressed in all my interventions, I think we are working with this mixed tool bag, and I think we are perhaps underutilizing some of the opportunities that there may be so we are coming very much from, you know, the assessment of the profile of CEDA evaluations would probably hold fairly true for Save the Children as well, where the focus lies. I think we could explore moving into other categories more as well, but it has to be based on the merit of doing it. It's not, you know, the methodology in itself doesn't hold any value. It has to be based on the merit of doing it.
So since one of the comments were stressed your report, Anders, maybe you want to say a few words as well.
So is this one on?
Yeah, okay. So yes, addressing the comment from Björn there, which is more, I guess, about the kind of academic debate around randomized controlled trials and the usage. And I guess this is always the case in the academia. Whenever a particular method or approach becomes, you know, very well known and applied a lot and kind of dominating, there is a bit of a backlash. And in the academic community, there's definitely been from people like Angus Deaton, as Björn was pointing out, but, you know, all kind of different people and you know, very influential academics, you know, Nobel laureates like Jim Hackman and future Nobel laureates like Daron Acemoglu and others have been kind of criticizing the approach to some extent. It is important, I think, to point out, though, that in many cases the critique has not been so much as to say that, you know, this approach has no value and that it's not important, but it's a little bit of backlash towards very strong statements on behalf of some of the leading economists supporting this approach, like Esther Duflo and Abhijit Banerjee, arguing that this basically should be the only tool to guide future development policy, which is a very, you know, very stark comment and a very stark conclusion, and definitely deserves a lot of backlash. And, you know, what I think is the way the kind of field is moving is more towards a combination of different methods, you know, what is referred to as mixed methods, applying RCTs together with more qualitative approaches, together with playing games in the fields and so on, to learn more about not only direct impact, but also the causal mechanism behind that impact. So I agree. I mean, an RCT in itself is not, you know, the silver bullet, or is not the kind of gold standard in that sense. But together with other approaches as well, I think it does add a lot to our learning of what works and what doesn't work.
Okay. Any more questions? Doesn't look like that. Well, then I want to thank the panelists and all the speakers and all of you for a good seminar. Thank you very much.